You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 187 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, February 26, 2019. I'm your host, J.R. Cook, here in Kansas City, and I'm joined by our normal crew today. To start things off, I want to introduce, from all the way from New Hampshire, where the official state song of New Hampshire is called Old New Hampshire. And the lyrics start out with a skill that knows no measure. We have Danny Donuts with us. How's it going, Danny?
Woo! That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to forget the New Hampshire fact. I had one prepared as well.
With a skill that knows no measure. That's the first line of the lyrics of that song.
That's pretty sweet. I'd like to hear that song. Actually, no, it's probably like
old
folky.
It's probably really awful.
Yeah, it's probably pretty bad. My fact was that the first potato planted in the United States was at the Londonderry Common Field in 1719.
Yo, that's where I live.
I know.
No wonder why I feel like a potato all the time.
I feel like I've given this fact before, though.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I've heard the potato thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't know it was in the field, like, right across from Ray's house.
No,
it actually could have been built on top of my house. What if my house was built on top of a potato farm?
Maybe.
Or, like, something that used to be a potato
maybe
farm.
Maybe you are the potato.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
That's deep.
He sure is the couch potato.
Hey. Hey.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Hey!
also, obviously, if you haven't realized, I just need to introduce both of you at the same time because you're both from New Hampshire. We got Racy as well.
Yes,
I need to do that better.
I'm glad that you brought back the facts.
I know I missed it last
New Hampshire. That really made me disappointed. I'm not gonna lie. I was like really excited for the new fact because that's exciting to learn something new about my state every single week on the podcast. And then the last week there was just no fact, and I was pretty bummed out,
pretty soon you guys are going to have to move because I'm going to eventually run out of facts of New Hampshire.
It's not true.
So, no, you can go in like, oh, there's currently 700 McDonald's in New Hampshire or something like that.
There's so many
facts.
You
can do stuff like that.
Like, fact. There's only like one person named Racy in New Hampshire.
We don't know that.
I know that.
No, there's two Ray Bs, but only one Ray C.
Oh, okay, that's how that works.
There's only one Racy 591.
That's probably true. That's probably.
I ate all the other ones.
You ate the other ones.
What happened to the other 590? Oh, that's a good one.
The potatoes weren't potatoes at all. They were dead bodies.
Oh, jeez. This is getting deep. This is getting dark now.
We're going back on the axe murder train.
Oh, man.
Was that last week?
Where we talked about an axe murder?
Did we?
I feel like we did, and I feel like it wasn't during the show.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't during the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to hear about an axe murder, all you got to do is subscribe to our Patreon.
But we didn't record it last week because we did the early show.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, unlucky. They'll never know those stories.
They'll never know about the axe murder stories.
That's okay. They don't need to know.
Yeah, you don't really want to know that one. That's one you want to skip.
Right. Oh, man. So Ray, what have you been up to this week?
I mean, I've been playing a little bit of Hearthstone just because I was theory crafting the new specialist format and stuff, so I was trying to some wacky versions of decks. Like I was playing Secret Odd Mage with what's it called, the Doomed Apprentice, which has been pretty fun. It's a card that's 3 mana 3/2 mage creature that says your opponent's spells cost one more, so it's been helping me out a lot against certain matchups like Priest. because stopping stuff like Mass Hysteria, Psychic Scream, or the 6-mana card that gets a pulls a 5/5 of anything out of their deck, like stopping those cards is a really big deal.
Hmm. Cool. And were you able to get into any of the tournaments this week?
Oh yeah, no, I got into all of them. I just liked to
post meme.
I just like to meme around.
Okay. I was like, come on, Ray.
I know a lot of people were.
Just learn how to adult.
Some funny content,
please.
Though.
But like, it's more fun to come off as like, you know, really dumb and
oblivious. Is that what you're doing?
Well, I mean, like partially, because like half the time it's true. Half the time it's true, half the time it's not. It's really just a 50-50. I'm not gonna lie, but in that particular scenario, I was just joking so I could make a funny Twitter video.
Oh, okay. That was actually a really funny video.
It was very good.
Like, I'm just about the memes, man. But there is some merit to that, though. Like, even though I'm talking about it on Twitter, people taking it seriously and stuff, like, even though I'm not actually getting affected by that, there's a lot of people who are. And, I mean, Danny can talk about that more if he wants to, because it's like...
Yeah, sure.
Danny's a real adult, whereas I'm just kind of like a fake one. I just pretend to be an adult sometimes, but
yeah,
I'm just a Hearthstone player, whereas Danny like is actually an adult.
Yeah, that's true. That's
sign-ups true. Have been unfortunate for some of these events where it's like you need to sign up 2 weeks in advance and time slots get taken within the first 10-20 minutes. And it's like, especially for someone who has a job, I'm like at work when the signups happen, like Ray said. And like we talked about some strategies beforehand before the show on how you'd be able to like get some stuff in from work, but it's really difficult to do that. And I initially, when I heard of this like format and how anyone can just join, I thought, oh great, on my days off from work I can play in some of these tournaments. But then it turns out it's like, oh, I got to be prepared like 2 weeks in advance, and I'm probably working 2 weeks in advance from when I'm off during the week. And I bet the weekend ones are like packed as well. Those are probably going a lot quicker because like everyone's available on the weekend to submit their stuff.
Yeah, I like and so, like I know when I'm at work, it's like I have no downtime for a lot of stuff to even remember to do, you know, a handful of things like that. Like it's not even close to the top of my mind, and I'm just like I almost have to dedicate time to remember to do something like that, and I'm just not even gonna bother.
It's not easy. Like it sounds silly, but it's for normal people. And like you, Danny, you're not the only one. The main reason why I've heard about this is because some of my Pokemon friends were talking to me about it because they're having difficulties actually traveling for Pokemon and stuff, so they're kind of like, oh, this new Hearthstone thing sounds really easy and like fun to get into because I only need one deck, so I don't have to have all the cards, yada yada yada. Like there are a lot of pluses to this. And then I'm just like, yeah, you just gotta sign up. And then they're like, okay, how do I do this? And I'm just like, well,
good luck.
you have to be on your computer at 11 o'clock a.m or 11 a.m EST because they're in my time zone. And you have to sign up on Battlefy within an hour. All right. So you're at work. All right. So, okay. Well, you can do this from your phone. You just have to, you know, get the deck strings ready and put them in your notepad. And then at 11 o'clock, if you're not too busy at work, even though you probably are, you know, just kind of sneak in a little bit of phone action, sign up. It'll probably only take you like 10 minutes because of how laggy the site is on mobile. But, you know, not a big issue. If it doesn't work, I mean, that's just probably because Battlefy is it's a little buggy sometimes. You just got to keep, you know, trying again. Maybe
and
you'll
then your
probably
boss walks over and then they're like, what are you doing?
You might eventually get through, you know, you just got to keep trying. It'll eventually work. Maybe not. Who knows? It's Battlefy. It's a 50-50. But yeah, if you eventually get through. All right. Well, now you've signed up for the tournament. That's in 2 weeks. What are the times? What times are they at? Well, they start at 10 a.m. 9 or 10. Oh wait, no, it's 11 a.m. our time. So they start at 11, 2, and 5. Oh wait, you get out of work at 5, huh? Wow, that's a you have a commute. Oh man, this is getting tricky. I guess you can't even play for it. That's unfortunate. I guess you gotta hope to sign up on a day off or like sneak it in at work. And then you have to get a day off and they need to be signed up for the ones on the day off. Yeah, this is just becoming real tricky, and they're marketing this for the average Joe, which I imagine average Joe is not somebody who sits at home and plays Hearthstone all day.
Like, average Joe's not going to be able to, they're going to be like, oh, I want to play today. I want to play in this tournament. They're not going to be able to do, not going to plan 2 weeks in advance for
it. Although there's plenty of people that will. And that's, I mean,
well, no, that's
at the
true.
End of the day, if you, at the end of the day, if you want to do it, you'll find a way.
I think you'll find a way to do a certain number of them, but I don't think you'll be able to do enough where qualifying becomes easier. Like, the system is really good for people who play Hearthstone a lot because there's so many qualifiers. They can play in three every single day. But real working people, I mean, these are hard tournaments. These are like, what, 248 players? So it's not going to be easy to win, and you're going to have maybe 2 to 3 chances at it. I don't know. It's pretty much the opposite of what they are marketing it as, in my opinion.
I mean, if you get one experience, like, I think that JR does have a point where it's like, people who wouldn't play in like events like this in the past year, year and a half or so before open tournaments were taken away, will be able to play in one or two. So it does give, it does open up some people to the experience who wouldn't get to it. Like, I'm going to probably play in one or two throughout this season, but it's not going to be it's not going to be like I can just become a competitive Hearthstone player just on the flip of a switch. Like, I have other obligations. I think that that's what it's really opening it up to. So people can get like a taste of it. They can dip their toes in the water. And then, like, for the hardcore players like you, I mean, it's easy for you to do all of this stuff because, like, you're able, because of your schedule and all of that stuff. So right. I think it's not super bad, but it could be better is the main thing.
But to put it in perspective too, I feel like this is still easier than trying to get top 100 on a ladder.
I don't know. I've heard the counterpoint to that, where a lot of people who are the ladder gods are people who work 9-to-5 jobs and then just play at awkward hours. Like, they'll just be able to play before work and when they get home from work and stuff. Because, like, Clay, ETC, like, all the people who are at the actual ladder gods are all people who work 9-to-5 jobs. That is how they, like, that is what they do for fun. And now that route is being taken away, like, that route directly into a significant tournament is being taken away. And now, since they can't play in these tournaments, they have to hope they high roll, like, the one or two they can play in, or the one that you can get top 200 for, since before, like, for them, getting top 100 was easy because they would just get High Legend on their own schedule, like, on their own time.
Yeah.
Because, I think people are overestimating how easy these tournaments, or I think overestimating might be the right word, like, overestimating how easy it's going to be to win one. I think it's going to be much harder to win one of these events than it is going to beat a top 100 tournament, top 100 ladder.
Yeah, but sure. So here's my thought process on it, though, is I don't have, like, I know that I will never hit top 100 ladder because I'm not going to put in that amount of time into the game. I don't think I'm ever going to win one of these tournaments, but I want to be able to participate in one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the difference comes. It's not so much that I want to get in and I'm going to win. It's I want to get in because I want the experience to try it. And I don't think I would ever even have that with trying to get top 100, because it's just like there's a lot of time I had to spend on that. Whereas this, I just have to plan a little bit better.
I guess. I mean, it is a different experience than ladder. That is probably going to be more of an actual experience than just ranking up on the ladder, which is that is also a valid point. I think it's just different.
It is.
I think ultimately it's much more difficult if you're somebody who is able to compete and get high ladder ranks while working a full-time job, but it is going to be a better experience for, like, the average Joe person who isn't actually playing on the competitive level of somebody who can win one of the events.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it kind of all plays out. I'm curious to see where we're at in about 3 months from now.
I think it'll overall be positive as long as the tournaments aren't a miserable experience, which is right. something that
is worrisome.
Yes.
I mean, it is faster than old tournaments. That's one thing. The best of three is going to be shorter than a best of five.
It's debatable because if it's Swiss or whatever, even if it's double Elim, if there's a if there's a Warrior Mirror, like playing Warrior Mirror three or two times is probably longer than playing a Conquest with Warrior once.
Yeah,
and you have to wait for everybody to finish.
Yeah,
so I don't actually like. I think it will be shorter overall most of the time, but I don't necessarily think it'll be that much shorter. All of the time. It just depends on the meta, but I think if there are issues with like running the events, then it won't actually be a good experience, like you were saying. Yeah. But that's what it comes down to. And I think that's why the times are at 11, 2, and 5, is because those are during the workday, which means I think Blizzard's going to have a dedicated team on site that are going to be running these events. And obviously, they're not going to like work random hours, right?
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And they're probably not working remotely. They're probably on campus, like in the war room or whatever you want to call it, figuring this stuff out, like figuring out any disputes or doing X, Y, or Z. So that might explain why, but I'm not sure. I don't know any of this information. Like, I'm just speculating.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, do we want to hop over into the news?
Yeah,
sure.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So I just realized after I played that still says Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft. Anyway, I want to thank our legend of the show, Otaku MZ. If you want to be a legend or a patron or anything like that, just head over to patreon.com/walnutpodcast and learn all about that. So the first thing I wanted to go over is it's not really news, sort of, maybe. But we had some good feedback on Young Ray C, bringing him back. And I was trying to figure out, okay, if I'm going to get a time machine and I'm going to go get young 10-year-old Ray C, he didn't really write a lot of letters back then. I don't think he was very good at writing. I'm not sure. He was okay.
Probably a little special.
Yeah, probably a little special. But so I'm like, well, shoot, maybe we can have him read the forums. So I think that's what we're going to do. So gonna get Young Ray C real quick here.
Gonna hop in the time machine.
Hey everybody, it's Young Ray C. So we're gonna read a little bit of these forums. The first one is written by someone named Puma Master. And the title is Boring and Poorly Thought Out Meta, and I'm Quitting Again. Made it to rank 10, and the game is so boring for what the meta is. OTK with no real interaction, or Control Priest with 6 to 8 board wipes, never needing to interact with me. Rinse. Repeat. Same things over and over. I play online to have human interaction, unexpected choices, and decisions. But this is just a single player game now. Such a shame. Had so much potential, like Heroes of the Storm, but poorly planned and implemented. Good luck, everyone. So the next one is titled Sort This Game Out ASAP from Beaker. Just watched a Pally bounce Shervala into his hand 4 times and then shuffle into his deck to OTK me. Honestly, sort this mess out. And the final one here. How you two fix Hearthstone from Ghast Templar. Number 1, nerf Baku or Hall of Fame early on. Number 2, Stop nerf everyone of classic cars. Whoa, what is this? Okay, we're starting that over again. Number one. Nerf Baku or Hall of Fame early on. Number two, stop nerf everyone of classic cars and fix actual card that caused the problem or removes classic altogether. Number three, stop pushing so many OTK combo decks. Number four, test your card before release and list it and list to your pro player who said a card going to be a problem even before release. Final one makes Hearthstone fun for everyone and gives better meta with each release.
Okay, that's it.
Oh, man.
I have no idea if that was funny or not. It probably was awful.
The text was funny, but, like, the music, man, that was just sad. Like, it was, like, depressing music with, like, funny comments. It was
I wasn't expecting the music to get really weird there either. I was like, whoa!
It was just like, man, am I at a funeral or like a stand-up show? I can't tell.
It's a sad stand-up.
It's like, this is what I imagine a comedian's funeral might be like.
Yeah, I should have just maybe done one. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you guys let me know. We'll do something maybe next time. We'll think of something else if this doesn't work out for you.
We'll put on some like peppy music next time.
So like exciting music? I literally decided to do this while we were talking pre-show. So I didn't really put a lot of thought into it. I can probably choose better music. I just used the music we had last time. So
that's okay. At least you tried. You get like a sticker or something.
Yeah,
I think that's how it works. Like right. The at least you tried star.
I'm trying to do something different.
One quick comment on that last one when the guy said rotate Baku to Hall of Fame.
Right.
Kibler put out a video this week, and in the video he said that Mike Donay talked with him about that, about rotating Gen and Baku to. They're looking to potentially make a change to Gen and Baku before the rotation. Mm-hmm. So I actually put out a poll on Twitter. Saying to the Wild community, hey, what do you think's more impactful on the Wild format, Gen and Baku or Barnes? Because, I mean, which would we want to see nerfed first? And Gen and Baku did not win. Barnes is still a more omnipresent force in Wild than Gen and Baku. Just fun fact.
All right. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that for the future of the game, I go against what the poll said. I think for the future of the game, Gen and Baku are going to be horrible for Wild, and I want to see a change to the cards rather than them getting nerfed. But I mean, rather than just getting them Hall of Fame, but we'll see what they end up doing.
I still think they're going to Hall of Fame the Hall of Fame, and it'll just be like, this card can never be played again.
This card never existed. Deleted.
Delete.
Deleted.
Deleted. Just give everybody their dust. Double dust. Delete the card.
Everybody gets a refund. Easy.
Yep. Easy mode. That's what I would do. Just delete them.
Yeah.
Just be Thanos and snap your fingers and
just snap your fingers and one of the two disappears. Again, or
Bach. Yep. Just snap your fingers and one of them becomes dust.
Just become Thanos, JR 2020.
All right. So getting into the serious actual news. So there was there's an event that happened this week or is happening this week. We don't know the full absolute details, but there's people actually, you know, tweeting about it and things like that. Monday, there was definitely a press event. Where some of the press got to go to Blizzard campus and check out some stuff with Hearthstone. And then today was they're calling a Hearthstone Summit. And I'm going to assume that was where some influencers and people in the community probably saw the same thing. And the reason why I bring this up is 3 years ago, in 2016, when Whispers of the Old Gods was announced. I got to go to one of these events, and it was on a Monday through Wednesday I was only there on Wednesday because what they did was they did Europe on Monday, Asia on Tuesday, and North America on Wednesday. And it was a bunch of us on Wednesday. There's a bunch of pro players there. There's a bunch of people in the community, a bunch of shoutcasters, and then a bunch of press. We're all there on Wednesday, and they did like a full day presentation on Whispers of the Old Gods. We went in the theater, saw the opening cinematic, got to see a bunch of the cards that were revealed, and then went up and got to play the game and had Q&A sessions with the developers and all of this stuff. And then we had an embargo that lifted on the Friday. And then that's when you have an embargo, it's usually a set time when everybody can now reveal what they got to see, because before that we had to sign NDAs and all of that. So this is a very similar time frame. And when I did this 3 years ago, it was on March 7th, which was on a Wednesday. We're around that time right now. And so I have a feeling with the timing and everything that we're going to have an announcement on the next set in the set rotation, what goes in the Hall of Fame, everything this upcoming Friday.
So I think that it's interesting that you compared this to Old Gods, because Old Gods, A, was one of the most published, one of the biggest publicized expansions, and yep. It's when they like introduced the Hall of Fame. So there was a really big announcement, and like
It's when they announced wasn't it also when they announced the new like rotation and all that?
Yeah, like Standard and Wild was introduced at that point. Right. So I have a feeling that based off of them doing this whole like summit type thing, that there may be some big changes coming, that this has been in the pipeline for a while and they're ready to get it out as soon as possible.
Yeah,
hopefully. That's what I'm hoping for right now.
And this has been in the works, this has probably been in the works for a while. I went back and looked at all my emails during that time frame, and I remember I got the invite in like early February. So you know, they would have had to have had that planned well beforehand as well, but they were even contacting people a month in advance on getting trips set up, because Blizzard paid for my airfare and the hotel out there even. And I have a feeling that this is the same thing. So they're putting a lot of money behind this to publicize. So
fingers crossed it's something good.
Yeah, I mean, Whispers of the Old Gods was a really good set. It did a lot. It had a lot of big changes in Hearthstone. And I don't know if they've done a big event like this a press event similar to this. And at the time, I thought that they just decided to shut it down completely and not ever do it again, because one of the press people there leaked out what it was, like, beforehand. Like, the night that we were there, they released it out, because we were at dinner and the community managers were starting to freak out because they were seeing stuff on Twitter.
Yeah. So if you see any leaks anytime this week, don't dismiss them automatically.
Right.
Man, I'm just going to post fake leaks all week. I'm just going to stir the pot a little
bit. Here's what you do, Ray. You go to a Hearthstone card generator. You take a screenshot with your phone. And then from there, you post the screenshot from your phone saying leaked card. That's how you do it. Crip actually made a video on how to leak cards at one point. Yep. How to make fake leak cards.
I'm going to have to go watch that video real quick.
Prep up for this week.
But right
now, you take some WoW expansion that's like 5 years old or something, and then you go and just make a card based around the theme. Easy.
Yeah.
The best thing is if I get like the expansion name right and everybody freaks out.
Especially Blizzard, because they're like, this kid wasn't even here.
No, I, like, on some level, I might, like, who's there? Like, they'll be, like, asking, like, Trump or, like, Regis or someone, like, did you tell him?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't do that, actually. No, I'll probably get it wrong. It'll just be fun. Or not, and I'll ruin someone's life. I don't know. It's a 50-50. I'm probably going to do it either way.
50-50 on... if it's funny or I ruin someone's life. I mean,
those are
fair odds.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not ruining my life. Oh, God, that sounds so bad. That sounds even worse.
0% chance of ruining your own life. Those are pretty good odds, too.
People listening to this are like, wow, this guy is rude.
They wouldn't be wrong, you know.
Oh, true.
That's true. Yeah. But no, Ray, you brought up a good point on why you think it's Friday as well. And this leads into something else we're going to talk about here in a second. But playoffs are this weekend. So yeah. Go ahead.
Got to get them ads, baby.
Yep. So while everybody's watching the playoffs this weekend, you know, they'll be showing off on how all of the new stuff, and they'll be able to talk about it. And that could drum up attention on the playoffs and get eyes over to the tournament as well, because maybe they'll release some cards this weekend. Maybe they'll have some developer interviews in between games or stuff like that.
Yeah, I think whatever the order is of this thing, RDU just tweeted boarding a flight to Paris was invited by Blizzard for a Hearthstone summit. And we will see a sneak peek of what is in store for 2019. So that means Europe hasn't had theirs yet, but North America and South America and Central America have.
Okay.
So I guess EU's might be tomorrow. It might just be like,
right. Well, that's interesting.
Staggered, like you said.
Yeah, that's interesting that they're doing it in Paris. Because 3 years ago, they did it all at the Blizzard campus in Irvine. So they flew all of those people over.
No. I think he's like boarding a flight. Like, that's a connection.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, he's going to the Blizzard campus.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Like, he's leaving now. So that means they haven't done Europe's yet. And we know they've done NAS.
Right. We know they've done NAs. So it sounds like to me, potentially what they did was Monday was press. Today was North America, South America, all of that. Tomorrow's going to be Europe. And Thursday will probably be Asia. And then they'll probably reveal everything on Friday.
Yeah. I wonder why they fly people out, like, or at least players. It seems weird.
It seems like a reassurance type thing. Like, hey, our game's not actually dead, guys. You don't worry. Well, we got a lot in store.
Yeah. And it's also you get to, they'll have group developer interviews where everybody's in the room and you get to ask questions, and it's usually good to have some pro players there that will ask those, you know, those harder questions on the game itself, and you get to kind of play beforehand, so you get to kind of check stuff out, and there will be developers there as well, so you get to talk through some stuff, and those conversations are important even with developers. I remember we had lunch with Disguised Toast was there sitting with me. And Dean Ayala and Reels were sitting at the same table. And so we were asking, and this is before Disguised Toast got hugely, hugely popular. He was still popular, but not where he's at now. And, you know, we got to have discussion. And I think Dog was there, too. We got to have a discussion with that over lunch. And then later they took us out for dinner. I felt super out of place on all of it because there's all these pro players. And, like, I was quote-unquote community, so they didn't put me with the media people, and that was weird, but whatever.
Yeah, I think I wonder if they ever change anything based off of something that someone says, like, hey, this is like bad because of XYZ. Like, I wonder if they ever change anything that's planned, because if they're gonna release it Friday, it feels like whatever they're gonna release is like already set in stone, you know.
Right. But I bet they can change other things, right? Where they're like, someone makes a good suggestion or someone makes a comment on something, and then it gets to a point where it's like, oh, have you tested XYZ? And maybe they haven't. Maybe they go back and test it. I think they definitely probably get some good information from it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think it's going to be impactful enough to affect like the initial reveal of everything. But I mean, if you go back to last expansion, right? War Master Voon was changed from a 5-mana card to a 4-mana card. In like, I think they gave the guy the old card and they told him like on the day of that they were going to change the card cost. So like they're making changes to the final set up until like the last day they possibly can reveal the card.
That's true. Yeah. In that case, it's probably extremely important to have pro players engage with them. I wonder why they don't do anything over Skype or anything. That always confuses me, like why they have to be there in real life and why they can't just kind of have meetings with them.
So what's nice about getting everybody there is you have this plan in your work schedule. You can bring everybody in. You can give them swag. You can make them feel happy. And also for the developers and people in that, it's different to be in person than it is to talk to people over the internet.
Mm.
Yeah, because you get that human element where it's like, right. if I'm talking to you through a screen, I can make like fairly negative comments, and I'm fairly unfiltered on a lot of things. Where
you also
I feel that it's going to be more like constructive criticism if right. I'm in person rather than just shooting stuff down.
You're also controlling your environment.
True.
So, that's a big thing too.
The goal for next year, get well met to the summit. That's the goal. So everybody listening, go tweet at I don't even know who's in charge of anything anymore. Just be like,
yeah. I feel like this is why I don't get invited to this stuff, because I don't know anybody anymore, because all of my contacts got fired.
Go tweet at Play Hearthstone that Well Met is your favorite podcast, and you want them at the summit.
Yeah, I mean that's what happened today when I made the post about that that video they put out for Wild. I went and I'm like, who do I tag in this? Who do I put this to so it gets attention? And I'm like, I have no idea.
I don't know. Hearthstone Esports just followed me apparently. So after 4 years, 5 years. So
yeah.
Whoever's new there must have seen one of my wholesome tweets and never seen the ones from me a year ago. So
man.
That's a plus for me. That's a strong W. And I'll have you know that when I joined Panda Global, like at some point, I think when we got one of the sponsorships, our manager like had everybody on the team like delete all their old Twitters just to make sure, you know. And I went through and I deleted like everything from like that was controversial in any way whatsoever. So I'm clean now. If they like look through my Twitter, it's just wholesome. It's all wholesome right now.
Wholesome family fun.
We're in the clear. As long as they have no way to access my old tweets, we're good to go.
Just don't pull an Elon Musk and you'll be fine.
Dude, that was amazing. What are you talking about?
It was freaking hilarious.
The Elon Musk memes are the best. Like, that was the highlight of my week. What's funnier? A dead deer or what was it? A dead dolphin? Oh, no.
So there was that, but there was the thing with PewDiePie, but he, like, got in trouble with the FCC tweeting out Tesla stuff.
Oh, yeah. He was like, I'm going to go take Tesla private once the stock reaches 420.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the FCC fined him for saying that. And then he went up again and he said again, he's like, oh, he put out some number of the number of Teslas they're going to create. And the FCC got all pissed off. But apparently, like, it was in their director's meeting. I'm going off on a tangent on this, but he's in the clear, boys. He's not getting fined by the FCC twice.
Well, he had to step down as a CEO or something.
Yeah, the first time was pretty significant. But anyway, back to Hearthstone.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about right now. So.
We're just talking about Elon Musk. Don't worry.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a generational thing.
I need to pay attention to more of the internet.
He owns Tesla. So
I know who he is. I'm just out of the loop on what he's been up to, I guess.
It's okay. You don't need to know about him. He's a degenerate. He watches anime, so he's basically... committing a sin every single second he watches one.
All right. So anyway,
anime is a sin in God's eyes.
Okay. Oh my God. The show is going completely off kilter, guys.
All right. Hearthstone champs.
Don't make me bring 10-year-old Racy back, guys. I will turn this podcast around.
I will turn this podcast right around. All right, champs.
Champs. So
this weekend.
Yep. And we have everybody's deck list. We did some talking about this with Deck Tech earlier this week on who we thought would win, and then when deck list came out, we. Some of us changed our minds. Some of us didn't. Do we want to go over that? Some of that on who we think has the most interesting lineups. Who we think is going to win? who we think.
Yeah, I think you can still vote too. I think you can still vote too. So it's relevant to like people who want to, you know, vote on who's going to win and potentially win some packs.
Yeah. So after looking at this lineup, Ray, let's start off with who you think has the most interesting lineup, might be the dark horse, and who you think is going to win.
Okay. So for me, who I really want to see do well besides Roger, I actually want Roger to win the whole thing. That would be hilarious.
That would be great.
Is SN Jing, and his lineup is really cool. He has Pirate Odd Rogue. It's not Odd Rogue, actually. It's Pirate. I don't know what it is. It's
like a Tempo Rogue thing.
It's like a Tempo Rogue thing, but it doesn't play Kel'Seth. It's really interesting, but he also plays Zoo with Explodinator and Grim Rally, and that's exciting. I always thought Explodinator was going to be a good card at some point. Just getting three bodies on the board for four mana just seems like it's going to be good at some point. And it fits perfectly in the Zoo deck that he created with Grim Rally. Being able to kill off one of the bombs to buff your minions by plus one, that's really powerful synergy. And then you have Explodinator into Fungal Mancher, which was the original synergy that I thought was going to be really powerful, but it ended up being very meh because there was no other synergy with mechs. But now you have this Grim Rally, which is something I didn't even like consider at all. And I think that this person has probably tested this deck a lot because it just seems like the card choices are so specific. There's double Void Ripper. There's one Despicable Dreadlord. There's just so many interesting choices. And when I played the deck a little bit, and when I started to play it, I started to kind of unlock the synergies as I was going up and up the ladder. And Void Ripper is insane against the Wall Priest decks. Like, they go Grizzly Bear, or they resummon the Grizzly Bear. It's like a 312 or whatever. You just Void Ripper it. You keep on hitting their face. There's a lot of cool things. Void Ripper can flip the bombs, and that can be direct damage to face. You can get high health Void Walkers, flip them, stuff like that. There's just a lot of cool synergies. I'm really excited to see that. He brought Standard, even Paladin, which is basically just a list from before the equality nerf, but minus equalities and plus minions like Amani Berserker, which you used to play before. Now you also have room for techs like Mojo Master Zihi if you weren't playing that kind of stuff. And a lot of people brought combo type stuff. So if he gets a good group for this lineup, it's going to be nuts. And then he's just playing Standard mid-range Hunter, which is honestly probably too good to not bring to a tournament right now. Like, Hunter just seems insane unless you're playing a dedicated lineup to do something that is very specific, like beat Hunter. Bringing Hunter just seems kind of silly. So that's the lineup I'm most excited about. I think the safest pick for your packs is probably going to be Bunny Hopper. I think Bunny Hopper is one of the best players in the world right now. He brought a pretty standard lineup, just pretty powerful lineup. He did bring Odd Mage, which I am a huge fan of. So I'm really digging Bunny Hopper, his lineup. He brought Double Clockwork Automaton, which is now become the standard, but I don't think that anybody would have considered that standard previously. I certainly didn't. It's more of an aggressive version. It's like the Odd Secret Hunter. It's not the version that I was playing with the Flame Strikes and stuff like that. But I really like it. I tested it out. I'm starting to like it more. And eventually, once the specialist format hits, I actually kind of want to try messing around with that. It's kind of switching. Like with five cards, you can easily add double Flame Strike, double five thing, cut out the Arcane Missiles and stuff. So blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bunny Hopper, good pick. Definitely would go with that. And then the person who I personally want to see win is probably Bloody Face. I don't know. I'm a huge Bloody Face fan, and he brought a cool lineup. It's pretty much just anti-control stuff. Like, he's playing Quest Rogue and stuff like that. So I'm digging that. And yeah, Ike, he's pretty much threatening me to vote for him. So yeah, Ike's a pretty good pick, I guess.
Do you like Ike?
I do like Ike. I love Ike as a person. He's awesome. He's an awesome dude. His lineup didn't really strike me as anything that gets me excited. You know, he's playing literally the four best decks. He's playing Odd Paladin, Standard, Mid-Range Hunter. even Warlock and the control priest thing, the Xerix priest.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's playing a pretty boring lineup for me to want to vote for him, like as a first pick. Like my first pick for me, who I want to see do well, is definitely that Zoo lineup. I'm just digging that after playing it. And then Bunny Hopper's mage deck, plus the fact that Bunny Hopper's one of the best players and this lineup's really solid. Like, I don't know. That excites me much more than Ike's more standard lineup, but he's still going to be a good pick. It doesn't, you know, get me excited.
Yeah. And Ray, you went over every single thing that I wanted to, because I was like, man, SNG-ing guy, he has a really cool lineup. I don't think he's going to win, but it's a really cool lineup. And then I'm like, of the two, I really think it's going to be Bloody Face or Bunny Hopper. Like, I don't know, just based on their play lately and also their lineups. Like, before I saw the lineups, I was like, I'm going to pick probably Bunny Hopper or Bloody Face. And then I saw the lineups and I'm like, yep, still going to go with them.
Before I saw the lineups, I was like, Roger, he's winning 100%.
Okay.
Roger's winning.
So you'll have to explain. You're going to have to explain the Roger thing.
Oh,
do you want him to explain? Him to explain that one?
I should explain. It's not like something that's bad. Well, I mean, okay. Basically, I'm going to explain it anyways, regardless of whether or not JR wants me to at this point. It's too late. I have to explain it. So Roger in HGG was the reason why his team got disqualified, and this team had Tom 60229, who's the world champion. But Roger got caught cheating. Basically, he was talking in his own language, and he was talking about how he has like omnipotent vision or whatever. What was it? He used like a phrase, but basically
it was all seeing vision or something.
Basically, TLDR, he was stream sniping. He could see his opponent's hand, so like he knew exactly what was in their hand. And they use that information maliciously, and they got caught because they're idiots. And yeah, I mean, it was him and Shaxi, I think. And what happened to them? Well, as you all know, when you cheat in Hearthstone, you get more viewers on Twitch. So Roger's stream exploded. He got DQ'd from HGG, but I mean, come on, that's like, what, $15,000? But when you have 1,000 viewers a stream minimum, you're making way more money than that in the long run. So he pulled the classic APX Void, you know, just got disqualified from the tournament, blew up on Twitch.
Yeah.
And yeah, but now he's playing in this Winter Championship. He got rewarded for his poor decisions. And yeah, I kind of hope he wins, because that would be a pretty solid storyline, in my opinion. It's just...
Yep. So now do you know why I asked you, JR?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I just knew you guys were laughing. I had a feeling that I couldn't remember who were the ones that were caught cheating in HGG. So, and I thought maybe that was the case, but I knew that we'd have listeners that wouldn't know. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing to talk about. Like, I think people should know that, like, these are things that exist. And especially when it comes to cheating and stuff, it's just like Blizzard has not had any
repercussions,
like given to these players. And now, like, if Roger, fresh off that DQ, fresh off cheating, gets to win and goes to Worlds, and then he wins Worlds, like, that's just hilarious on some level. Like, some people are gonna be like, no, that's messed up. Like, why would you want him to win if he's a cheater? Because it's just funny to me. Like, I just want to watch the world burn on some level, because people are going to, like, fling poop if Roger wins. Like, they're gonna be mad, and sometimes that's just funny.
And this is how we get the politics we have today, Ray.
Well, okay,
just putting that out there, buddy.
I'm not a fan of politics in the slightest.
I don't want to talk about it on the show either. All right. So Danny, what do you think? Who do you have?
Yeah, I agree with all of that stuff that was said. The one lineup that I'm fairly interested is Faeli's. Maybe this is just because I'm coming off of the Wild Open, and maybe that's a little bit of that's rubbing off, because a lot of the decks that he's bringing had equivalents that did extremely well in the Wild Open. So like Q Block seemed very, very strong in Wild. And then like this control priest did very well just out of nowhere in Wild. So I really think that those two decks, if he has a bad group for these matchups initially, but I think that overall these decks have a lot of power in them. So if he gets out of his group, I think he has a good shot to go all the way. And then he also has the Tog Druid, which is really sweet. I'm a big fan of Togwaggle Druid.
I hate that deck so much.
That's one of my favorite decks. Just swap decks with your opponent, steal their ransom, and you're good to go.
Yep. Ugh, hate that deck. I don't like it. I don't like playing it. I don't like playing against it. So, yeah. No, that's... There's, I was curious if Bobby X, he had some... I don't know. His lineup's all right. But I think I'm going to... I think if I were to pick and bet my packs on a player, I think I'm going to solely go with Bunny Hopper. I think that's who I'm going to... I think that's who I'm going to stick with.
Safe pick. I like it.
If nothing else, like, even if he doesn't win, I feel like he'll get me some packs. A decent amount in the end.
I agree. I think I'm definitely going to be voting for that Zoo guy, though. That's just fun. I can't watch it. At least watch it.
Yeah.
Like... I know I have my own personal bias from playing it, and like ladder is completely different than high level tournament play, especially when most of the grinders aren't even playing ladder. So it's like, I don't really know the true potential of the deck, but I just hope to see him play it and see. It's just super fun to watch from my point of view. So hopefully other people get to see it in action. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. Yep. So the other thing we're going to talk about, we kind of talked about this already though. We're starting to talk about the Hearthstone Open and some of the strategies that you can use in the Hearthstone Open. We already kind of talked about the strategies on how to get into the Hearthstone Open. That you need an alarm clock. That's the new meta.
Yes.
But what about strategies of I have gotten into the Hearthstone Open and now I need to choose a deck and I need to choose 5 cards for 2 more decks to fit into this. How do I go about this, Ray? How do I play test this? How do I figure out what deck in this very new meta that we're going to get will play out?
I mean, this is a question that could take a whole like hour long segment to answer, but to make it simpler, because I feel like we are going to go over like more in depth to it like next week maybe and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But, and I just want from the 30,000 feet view.
Yeah. Okay. So what I would do, how I would approach this, especially if I wasn't somebody who had all the experience in the world, would be to go and look at what my favorite decks are, what decks are doing well on stuff like HS Replay and whatnot, and kind of take the vanilla version of that deck. So let's take Odd Paladin. You can play like the standard Odd Paladin deck, and that would be your primary deck. And then you would go and you would look at your matchups, look at the matchups and see what you're struggling against. Well, that's something like Quest Warrior or Odd Warrior or just like some type of control deck that's super dedicated to just beating you up, right? Now, you have 5 cards that you can dedicate to just trying to beat that archetype that you're struggling against. Now, what would you add? Like, what is the way that you would use to beat Warrior? Like, what can you put in your deck that will help you win against Warrior? Usually, that is more heavy threats and more value stuff. So something like taking out cards that are generally considered bad against Warrior. Like, maybe you want to take out the Archerist Veterans, or you want to take out basically some of the one drops, like Lost in the Jungle might be weaker against Warrior, Archer's Veteran, like I said, Raid Leader, whatever. You want to add stuff that will improve your matchup, like Divine Favor is always going to be really good. Like, you're always super happy to see Divine Favor if you play it against Warrior. So you're going to want to add cards like that. You want to add something like Prince Liam. I think Prince Liam's actually really good against Warrior.
Yep.
Witch's Cauldron. That card's very powerful against Warrior, just creates random shaman cards and stuff dies. So you can get creative in this kind of format since it's so specific, but that's the general idea. And then you take something else like, okay, so now you have the Warrior and the control kind of aspects covered. What else are you weak against? okay, I'm weak against Druid, and the way to beat Druid is not the same as the way to beat Warrior, and there might be a lot of Druids. Okay, so how do I beat Druid? What's the best cards against Druid? Well, that one's a bit harder, but you get more creative. You could add cards like King Mukla, which is just a giant body for 3 mana. I think that's actually pretty powerful. Divine Favor is still pretty powerful, so you can still add one of those. We were testing out some other cards, just like, Void Ripper, because you're going to probably run into Spreading Plagues against Druid, stuff like that. You can get really creative if there's like special cards that you might think are really powerful against stuff like Druid. Like, I don't know, one thing that comes to mind is Sword of Justice, maybe, which is a weapon that's a 1/5 that gives +1/+1 whenever you play a minion. So just random kind of cards that make your creatures bigger, as opposed to just value, like is what you want against Warrior. Vicious Fledgling, that's a really good example of a card that's insanely powerful against Druid if they can't kill it immediately. So that's kind of where you want to go if you're new. Obviously, we're all new to the format, but if you're newer to like a tournament scene and you don't have a whole lot of experience, you just want to go with a good deck that you feel comfortable with, and then you want to see what your bad matchups are and try to change 5 cards that are typically bad against that deck or those decks, and then add cards that are good against them. And that, like Odd Paladin was just an example. You can do that with every single deck.
Right. So I have a question. Go ahead.
You go ahead with the question, because I have a couple tips myself.
My question kind of goes off tangent a little bit, so let's go ahead with what you had to say.
All right, yeah. So I was just going to talk about how like deck positioning is fairly important in this as well. Your main deck, you always have to play your main deck first, and that actually does a lot. So you can, I think Noblord tweeted something about this, saying that like your main deck doesn't necessarily have to be that like starting strongest deck, like your like best deck. You can play the one that has the text for your worst matchup as your primary deck. And then he also, I think there was a caveat that like if your core deck is in your secondary slot, that means that in your third slot, you can have a deck that's up to 10 cards different away from that. And like 10 cards is a lot. You can typically come up with 2 fairly different archetypes and really change a deck significantly if you do it that way. But that's a little bit more of an advanced tactic. I think that if you're just trying to do one of these, that your best strategy is probably just bring your best deck and then teching as Ray did. But if you're trying to go a little bit deeper into it, like deck positioning is something that you should definitely consider.
Yeah, that whole aspect is like a whole like rabbit hole to go down, because I'm definitely going down that rabbit hole myself, but it's too difficult to explain all my thoughts on that kind of a strategy in a short amount of time. So we're gonna I would prefer to save that for another
whole. I think that's the like on the ground level thing where as opposed to the 30,000 foot description. There is a lot of intricacy that goes into sideboarding, as we've seen in Magic tournaments and stuff like that. So if you there's a lot of content on that. I've actually started like brushing up on my Magic sideboarding experience. Mm-hmm. If you really want to get some experience on that, that's probably a good area to start looking into. You might have to, like, I don't know much about Magic at all, so I'm learning the cards and like understanding principles about that, but you probably don't want to get into that if you're just doing this for like one time. But if you really want to get involved and really deep into it, you can really go down the rabbit hole with this stuff.
I was just gonna say, I think for people who are kind of just don't have much time and aren't super skilled, like you're like somebody who hits rank 10 and you just want to play in one but want to really have a chance to crack open into like top 4 top 8, something like that, I definitely think the 30,000 yard approach, whatever JR said, is
30,000
the route, definitely the route that you want to go. This whole positioning strategy is definitely something that takes a lot of time to hone in on, and there's a lot less information on this because it's just so new and so different that it's going to be harder to kind of figure it out for yourself without having to have a whole group with you practicing and stuff like that.
Yeah. And speaking of groups, we've been talking about doing some stuff on Discord, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody, if you're listening, you should definitely join the WellMet Discord. I don't know what the link is. JR, do you know what the link is?
I was hoping you didn't ask that right now because I was just looking it up.
It's discord.gg/WellMet, I think.
Can we put that or WellMet podcast? I'm testing it out right now. It's that says invite invalid. It's discord.gg. Oh my god, this is gonna be the worst show ever right now.
Can we put that in our Twitter bio? I feel like it's much easier to like say it's in our Twitter bio and then people would just go to the Twitter and then click on it and then get in. But anyways, basically
we'll figure it out.
But I want to kind of do like a boot camp for people who listen to the show and just go over certain lineups and stuff like that I'm thinking about if you're planning on playing in these tournaments. And just it's much easier to show people visually and kind of go through some practice runs and stuff like that than to explain it. I feel like, at least for me personally, I learn better by just seeing it. And on Discord, there's option to do like a private stream, basically. Like you can stream yourself playing. So basically what that means is like everybody else who's like in that call can watch you do whatever on your screen. So as long as I don't pull up Internet Explorer by accident, I mean, Google Chrome. God, who eats Internet Explorer? You'll just get to watch some dope Hearthstone gameplay and learn how to navigate your way through the specialist format. I kind of want to do it like a week before. I think that's probably a good time on like a 8 o'clock type thing, you know,
right
after everyone gets home.
Yeah. Just follow us on Twitter and we'll tweet out the link to the Discord sometime this week.
There we go.
Yeah, because I thought it was discord.gg/WellMetPodcast, but that's not working, so I got to figure out what it is. It's been a while since I've given it out.
Either way, the Discord's been pretty interactive lately. I definitely enjoy talking to people.
We need to get more people in it.
Yeah, it's not like it's just very constructive, in my opinion. It's not like some of the other Discords I've been in where it's just, I don't know, chaos.
Oh, it's discord.me/WellMetPodcast.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, that I knew it was something like this. discord.me/WellMetPodcast, and it's actually in our show notes. That's how I found it. I copy and paste that every week.
We're smart. It's okay.
Yeah,
we smart.
I will still tweet it out. So if you don't remember what it is, I'll still tweet it out, and you can find it there. We'll all retweet it. So
yes.
No, the question that I had earlier, is how do you think this will affect decks like, Quest Rogue, Mechathune, Warlock, decks that are centered around one strategy? Do you think those go away?
No, I think it depends on the metagame. Like, if people are aware, like, say Quest, or say Mechathune wins the very first one, all of a sudden the next week or the next tournament, like the next day, you're going to see people playing techs like Hakkar, because Mechathune actually can't win if somebody plays a Hakkar against them and it dies, right? Like you could play it in any deck. Like you could just throw in a Hakkar and just beat Mechathune for free.
Right. So that's why I'm saying, does that deck just go away because it can be hard countered?
Well, no, then you can sideboard it. You talk about Warlock. I was thinking about Druid. In Druid, you can switch from Hakkar to like Malagos or something, or like Tog Druid. So there's some flexibility there. Or maybe you just become a control Warlock, right? Maybe
For stuff like Warlock and Priest, I think that there are days where it will be not playable because of that reason, but I don't think at first. I don't think it's going to be on people's radars, to be honest. I think people are more concerned with being able to beat Hunter and then having tools for the more popular decks like Control Warriors and et cetera, Odd Paladins, like having aggro hate. I don't think stuff like Mechathune is going to be on people's radars unless it does well. And if it does well, then we will see that happen. But eventually, it's going to be a cycle where as soon as it does well, you're not going to be able to play it the next day. And then eventually you'll be able to play it again because it won't do well for long enough that people just stop teching a card for it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it'll be a cycle, but
yeah, and you can always counteract that. That's the big thing too. Where you if you expect people to try to tech against you, you can tech against their tech.
Mm-hmm.
with one of your decks. That's the convenience of having two decks, at least, where it's like there's one deck that I think that for a lot of this stuff, you're going to want to have one sideboard that you're primarily changing to, and then one for a fringe scenario type thing. One for like one matchup that completely burns you, but you can just beat it if you have a specific tech card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And in this format, matchups are just like infinitely more important. So there are going to be times where maybe you decide to play that Mechathune deck and you just play against somebody who's got that Hakar tech and you lose immediately.
Right.
And you just have no chance. But then the odds of that might be so low that it also just might never happen. You might win the whole tournament. So it just depends on the day.
All right.
Yeah. So pay attention to stuff like Twitter. Like, that's going to be a big deal. If you see somebody tweeting out like, oh, I won with this deck, expect people to have that deck on their radar and expect to
play against it a lot too. People are going to copy it straight up. Yep. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Be ready for that. Be ready to face it. Be ready for some people to try and plus one that. So you can either decide to plus one or plus two.
Yep.
Yeah. Basically, you just have to keep your head to the ground and be aware as much as you can. And Twitter definitely helps with that.
Right. Were you done?
I'm done.
All right. I think that's timely for us to get out of here, though. So, with all that said, emails. We had some emails a couple weeks ago, and there's still some stuff I need to throw in here, but this was kind of a longer show, so I didn't put them in here this week. But if you want to email us, just do so wellmet at blizzpro.com. And we like to answer them on the show when we have a slow week. Probably won't be having a slow week for a couple more weeks, though. But we still, if you email us, we'll still get to them at some point. So definitely do that. Patreon, as I said earlier, we had a legend of the show, Taku MZ. If you want to be a patron, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. $2 gets you early access to the show. That's fully uncut, so you hear us rambling on before the show, and a little special after the show. Trust me, it's not that special. You can probably end it right at the end of the show. but we do have a new patron this week, thanks to AJG. Thanks for joining Patreon, and hopefully you enjoy listening to us early. You can also get like coaching and stuff like that over there too. It just depends on what you want to give. If you don't want to give or you don't have the means to, that's quite okay. You can help us out in other ways that are probably even more important, to be honest, because it helps get the word out. And those are iTunes reviews. And I was going to have Young Ray C read these, but we had 3 new iTunes reviews this week, guys. That's pretty crazy.
It's like 300% more than usual.
I know. So I'm just going to read over them real quick. From Spartacus Bet 999, the only time traveling podcast. Okay. He was listening to Young Ray C.
Yeah, there we go.
So these guys not only traveled back in time to speak with the 10-year-old version of one of the hosts, Ray, but they also correctly foretold the future by guessing what Hearthstone would announce about esports in the one class 3 deck scenario. Now, if only Azure Drake would be brought out of the Hall of Fame, their fortune-telling ways will be proved true. Be sure to never miss an episode. Who knows what their soothsaying abilities will tell us in coming episodes. That's a pretty good review.
Wait, you think we're sane?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
So that's a pretty good review. I like that review.
Yeah, it was a good review.
I like that review.
Good review.
Yeah, thanks.
Hopefully it was 5 stars.
Yeah, thanks for that, Spartacus Fett. It was a 5-star review. We did have another 5-star review from Hanson 1205. He said, you guys make the four... Oh, I thought it said 4 hour, and I'm like, holy cow, that's a long commute. It says, you guys make the hour commute to and from work enjoyable. Love the New Hampshire connection, too. Great topics, great entertainment. So you got someone there in New Hampshire. Maybe you'll, maybe Danny, maybe you'll have someone at work. Be like, hey.
Join the fan club.
Yo, that's hey, awesome.
Aren't
I know.
You Danny Donuts?
I didn't know there were more people here.
Yeah.
Thought we were it.
Yeah. The population of New Hampshire. Fact. Population of New Hampshire just grew to 3. Oh,
Ray, you might want to be careful because maybe this is Ray C592.
Oh,
no. Oh, no. What was the username again?
Hanson1205, so you're probably okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm good.
However, the next
only if
one.
Only Hanson1204. Would I be worried?
Yeah. However, the next one is RaiseUp12. So that's his name. And he said, great Hearthstone podcast, 5-star review. I really enjoy listening to you guys talk about Hearthstone. Great broadcast. Chemistry. So those are good reviews, guys. If you'd like to give a review, we'll read it on the show next week. Just head over to iTunes, do a podcast search on for Hearthstone, you'll find us. So pretty awesome. I love reading these reviews and I have a lot of fun with them. So
I agree.
Yeah. Shout outs and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to everybody who left a review. That's always really cool to hear and see. And you can contact me on Twitter, PG_RayC. I've been creating some pretty dank Twitter content lately. My newest thing is the Hot Meow fan club. I'm gonna create that one soon. It seems like a lot of people are interested in joining, and I think that'd be really cool to make a cult for Hot Meowth.
There you go. Man, you guys got some weird stuff you do on Twitter. That's all I know. Danny, how about you? Any shout-outs on how can people get in contact with you?
So you can get in contact with me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS, and my shout-out for the week is going to be a preemptive shout-out, and it's going to be to Blizzard for this announcement, because it's going to be awesome. And we're gonna love Hearthstone again.
Oh,
you got a lot of faith there, buddy boy.
I got a lot. I'm making a bet. I'm putting the bet on black right now. I'm putting all my chips in. We'll see how it goes.
Make
it's
Hearthstone.
Good thing I'm not a gambling man.
Make Hearthstone lovable again. That's what we need to have happen.
You want to know something funny? Is that Trump posted a picture at the Hearthstone Summit. He had a shirt on that said, make Hearthstone great again, Trump.
Oh, man.
This is TSM Trump. Or he's not on TSM anymore. He's on Tempo Storm. This is the small Asian nerd Trump. Not to be confused with the other orange one.
Okay. You went there. As for me, I don't think I have any shout outs. I need to start thinking of shout outs. It's been a long week, guys. I'm going to give a shout out to sleep because I need more of it.
Good shout out.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. But you can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian and, just follow us there on Twitter and we'll get the Discord out here pretty soon as well. And see if we can get some more people visiting that and talking to us and get a playtest group going for these opens.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thanks for joining us for episode 187 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with questions, comments, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.